I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. Coming up on the podcast, we're going to explore the definition of modern family, because it's different for everybody. But imagine a world where you could meet a complete stranger online, become platonic friends, and then decide to have a baby together and then co-parent that baby for the rest of your lives, because that's actually a thing now.
Yeah, we are going to talk to the founder and CEO of a website called Modamily, which helps people looking to have kids find somebody to do it with.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
So Hillary, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have heard a rumor going around about you accidentally seeing your father-in-law's junk. True or false?
Not 100% true, but also not 100% false.
Can we just take a minute and think about what that looks like? Just the idea of walking in on, oh my God, an in-law and seeing their parts. I'm dying for you.
I can tell you exactly what it looks like. It's like staring at my future 40 years from now.
I can't. I'm like, are you traumatized? Are you okay? Do you need a hug?
So here's what happened. Sandra already knows the story, but here's what happened. We had the family over for one of the kids' birthday parties in the backyard doing the safe social distancing thing. But we have a pool. And so all the grandparents were in the pool with the kids and I was prepping food. And we also have a refrigerator in the area, like the chain shed that we have. So Not thinking that anyone had actually gotten out of the pool yet, I walk right into the chain shed to grab something from the fridge. And all I see is my poor father-in-law's tuft of white hair on the head, for the record, on the head.
Okay, on the head. But like, was he in a complete state of undress?
He was, but I guess he had seen my feet under the door, so he had enough time to put the towel over the sensitive area.
So you didn't see his pasty white cheeks?
No.
I couldn't, okay. So, but you knew that had you maybe open the door 2 seconds earlier, you would have been traumatized for life.
Oh, absolutely. And beyond that, there is another benefit. You know how when you're out in the bright, bright sun and then you go in somewhere dark, your eyes take a second to adjust? That's the worst part about the whole situation, because I didn't even realize what I was looking at for like a good 4 or 5 seconds.
Oh, my God. So how did you handle it? I would have screamed in horror.
Well, there was a group of people outside, so I tried to exit without anybody noticing.
Did he say anything?
He like just kind of joked about it. And then for the rest of the day, we couldn't look each other in the eye. And I don't know who was more embarrassed, like me for walking in and being a total idiot, or him for like being in that state of undress and knowing that I potentially saw something.
So he's not 100% sure that you didn't.
No, I mean, I've said over and over again, I haven't, but come on. Like, if I had, I wouldn't lie.
Of course you'd lie. You'd be like, no, I didn't see anything. It's fine.
It's totally
it's fine.
Fine.
Nice scrotum. I mean, what? I mean, at that point, if I had seen as early in my relationship, as yours, if I had seen my father-in-law's, you know, scrotum, I wouldn't have gotten married. I would have had to be like, no, I got to find another one.
Because
I can't.
Literally, you already know what you're going to get. Like, it's like,
no,
oh, that's
don't.
What it's going to look like in 20, 30 years.
Oh, well, Hillary, they all look the same. It's not even genetic. Eventually, you're going to have a guy with a low hanger. Sorry. That's how they go. They fall. Just like your boobs will drop, their balls drop. It's the
right,
same
expectations,
thing.
Right? But here's the thing. Both his current wife and his ex-wife were at this party.
Oh, God.
And one of them kept making jokes that I was trying to steal her man, the current wife.
Oh, God.
And the other one was like, oh, don't worry. I already know. It's nothing to get excited about.
Oh, I like the second one.
That was the ex-wife. Yeah.
That's literally who I want to be.
The best part is she's the most mild-mannered woman on the face of the planet. So it was even funnier coming from her.
Wow. When you get an opportunity to take a shot at the ex, man, you take it. You take it every time.
But now, like, we've had a couple of family get-togethers since then. It comes up every time. Like, this story will be told at our wedding. He's not my actual father-in-law yet, but I still call him that. But yeah.
We get it. I get it. But my God, I'm so mortified for you because I can't. I would be more mortified if my father-in-law saw me naked.
Oh, 100%. Nobody wants to be the naked person. The walker inner is like, it's kind of a bad thing. But I think, like, I don't know. Maybe it's the difference between guys and girls. Like, guys, they play sports together. They shower together like it ain't no thing. We don't do that.
We don't do that. That is not how we roll, Hillary. And, you know, I have to be honest. I have a thing where when I meet most men, the first thing I do is I wonder what they're like in bed. That's all. Like, it's just a thing that I do. I'm always curious. And then I, you know, I guess I play a little game in my head. Oh, that one's I bet that one's
just
shitty.
Stop now. Because I never want to play that game thinking about my father-in-law
once you've seen like a guy's, you know, appendages or penis is the proper word. I get it. But once you've seen that, you're never not going to be able to think of them about sex. Because if I saw an old dude's penis, I'd be like thinking about, oh God, how do they use it? And then I'd start, you know, connecting the dots to get to a very ugly and dark place. So I hope you can recover from this. Because now
that's the upside.
Thank God. But for a split second, did you wonder what he was like in bed?
Oh God, no. Oh God.
Because I'm thinking about it now.
I just assume he's just a slower version of my significant other.
It's not like he taught him any move. That's one thing fathers don't teach sons, thank God.
It's genetic.
Well, you, that's right. But you, oh my God. Why are we having this conversation again? Because now I'm thinking about old man dick now. This is not what I wanted, Hillary. But anyway, I hope you recover. I hope you both recover. And I feel like in 5, 10, 20 years time, this story will become epic.
Also, please send sympathy cards.
It's not a secret that the structure of relationships and unions have changed over the years, but imagine what it would be like to have a baby with a stranger and then co-parent that baby. Believe it or not, that's a thing. And today we're very excited to have the CEO and founder of a company called Madamly on the podcast. Yeah, they basically match people who want to have babies at the same time. Please welcome Ivan Fatovich to the podcast. Hey.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Yvonne. So Madamly actually offers a couple of services. So like Sandra said, you do non-romantic hookups, but you also have an opportunity for people to be romantic as well?
Yeah. So, you know, essentially Madamly works very similar to a dating app where everyone on the site, you know, is ready to have kids and start a family. So it's a little bit different than something like a Tinder or Bumble where it caters more to, you know, people in their 20s. That are more looking to have fun and have more casual, like, hookup type relationships. And it's for people that are frustrated with that and that are ready to start a new stage in life, ready to have kids. Our market is mostly people in their 30s and 40s. So I think it relieves the pressure that a lot of men and women are facing as they get older. People are having children older in life and later in life and focusing on career and experiences. But they do have to have them by a certain age, and we help them in any way we can.
So you offer the romantic side of things and the non-romantic side of things.
Correct. So you can say when you're registering, are you looking for a romantic relationship with someone who's ready to have children and start a family? Are you looking for a platonic co-parent, which is, say, someone that, obviously everyone starts off as a stranger that you meet online, but, you know, it's not like have a baby next week with them. You get to know them. You develop a trust. You know, usually wait 6 months or a year, sometimes even longer. Decide if you want to move forward, and you can be a platonic co-parent where you'd be essentially a best friend. Picture like Will and Grace, the TV show, if they had a kid together or something like that. And then we also help people that are looking to have, you know, find sperm donors, egg donors, and surrogates, and we help them on their search and refer them to professionals along the way and basically guide them through the process.
For people who are going in this platonically, Do you help them through some of the legal issues? Because I would imagine there are a lot of contracts that need to be drawn up, including like how do we plan on co-parenting? What are our ideas? What's the commitment level?
Yes. So the site, there's two options. You can sign up on your own. The site also has a lot of blog content asking questions of, you know, what's the best way to find a co-parent? What's the best way to proceed? How do you do IVF? What are the legal ramifications? So, you know, we basically recommend if someone is going to be a platonic co-parent, once you develop a trust and get to know them, we obviously don't rush into this. Don't, you know, have a baby within a few weeks of meeting someone. Get to meet them. Get to have an understanding of what this arrangement would look like. Have those difficult conversations up front about, you know, who's going to be responsible for what? How is this going to work? Are we going to be roommates? Are we going to live next door? Is the baby going to be with the mother most of the time? Is it going to be 50-50? And all that stuff can be drawn into an agreement called something like a co-parenting agreement, where you can determine custody, you can determine finances. You know, it can get as in-depth as estate planning for if anything should happen down the road, and if the child, if you want to pass on your estate to your child, to something as simple as just the, you know, the custody arrangement and the finances. And if anything were to happen down the road, if there's a disagreement or if you have to go to court, usually the judge would, you know, look at the agreement and see what the intent was and make a ruling that's in the best interest of the child.
Holy, holy, holy. That's a lot. That's a lot of agreeing on the front end. But, you know, the funny thing is as I was listening to you go over the checklist of the things that you would be responsible for, a romantic relationship with the person you have a kid with is far more complicated than what you just described.
Right. Well, yeah, romantic relationship, you know, romance can get in the way of making decisions of what's best for the child. So you can fall in love with someone. And maybe they're, you know, they're working on a big idea, or they're in between careers, and they're not making any money, and they're not holding their end of the bargain. But if you're in love with them, you're like, oh, they're gonna, you know, they'll get through, they'll come through, that idea will come through, or they'll book that job, and you probably give them a little bit more leeway. But if someone's not holding their end of the bargain as a co-parent, I think you're more, you know, you're more apt to have them, you know, hold up their end of the bargain and not have the romantic entanglements that can get in the way. And also, if there's a disagreement, you know, a lot of times people can have that, especially say like in a divorce that goes bad, say, where, you know, mommy and daddy end up hating each other.
Those never happen,
right,
Ivan.
That never happens. So, yeah, in the States that happens, you know, that can happen 40 to 50% of the time, where most, you know, marriages end in a divorce. Children are living in two different homes anyway. So one of the original inspirations for the site was, you know, I saw a lot of relationships where the people got married, they had a child right away, and then in a few years they would get a divorce. And, you know, I've seen it where they get a great divorce, the people end up friends, they do what's best for the child, but more often than not, there's a period where the couples are you know, the mother and father are fighting with each other, they're spending money on legal fees, and the child gets caught in the middle. And it's a scarring experience for children when their parents are, you know, are kind of talking negatively about the other person in front of them, or having an argument all the time about money or property, or, you know, whatever divorced people fight over. So I just thought there was a better way that we can, you know, put people together for, you know, for this job of raising a child. And rather than doing it on your own, you can have someone that shares your vision and value system for how you want to raise children. And, you know, two hands are better than one, especially when it comes to a child, unless you're extremely wealthy and have a whole team of nannies and support systems to support you. You know, raising a child is expensive and difficult.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because when you have the child together, let's say platonically with somebody, and you agree to all the terms on the front end, that's just the shit you agree to on the back end of a divorce anyway, when you think about it, right?
Exactly, right.
Absolutely.
Without the animosity.
Right, yes.
And I feel like when you have a child with someone, you make these assumptions that, like, I love this person, and clearly they're going to think about parenting the same way I do. And that's not always the case. So to be able to suss out all those details before you even start, it's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, when you're dating, you're in that that phase where you're trying to look good. You're not letting everybody know everything. You're not asking questions like, okay, if you have a child, do you think they're going to go to public school or private school? What kind of health insurance are they going to have? You believe in flu shots before the age of five. Some people are really against it, and most people are for it. But these are questions that if you're dating someone, you don't even really talk about until maybe you're married already and the baby's on the way. And then you talk about going to preschool or something, and one person's like, whoa, we can't afford that. I mean, I was expecting private school. We never even had this discussion. So on my family, we ask couples or people that sign up to 200 questions about their lifestyle questions, their value system, what do they feel about certain issues, and then we try to match people up. You tell us basically what is the most important criteria you're looking for in a co-parent. Is it someone with physical appearance, tall, dark, and handsome? Is it someone that has a highly educated degree or postgraduate degree? Is it someone that makes a lot of money? Is it someone that's super athletic or super tall or has, eye color, hair color that you're looking for? Is it someone that shares the same religious values as you? Do you want to raise your child Christian or Jewish? And is that a deal breaker? Then we'll only introduce you to someone that feels the same way. Or do you just simply want someone that shares your similar vision and value system for how you want to raise children? So we have you rank those criteria in the order that's most important to you. And then we try to make recommendations based on that.
Oh, can I just say that when my kids were little, after I got married, I never had any of these conversations. My family's European, and my husband is many generations Canadian, a little British. But when we first had our baby, to me, it was sort of a non-issue to have my son baptized, as is Greek tradition, even though I'm not religious. And that was the very first blowout, like, deal breaker argument that we had, because he was going to die on that hill that he did not want anything religious. And I'm like, it's not really religious. It's traditional for us, and it's a nice way for the family. And I remember thinking, why the fuck didn't we figure this shit out before we had kids? And we never even had that conversation. I remember thinking that I remember crying, yelling. We were yelling so hard at each other. I was crying because he wouldn't see it my way. And I'm thinking, why are you dying on this hill? And I remember thinking, Christ, so many important conversations. Not that I would not have married him over it, but we could have just avoided a lot of bullshit. A questionnaire would have been nice at the time. Would have been great.
Yvonne, I want to go back to that list of things that you ask people, the list of priorities. I have to know what ranks the highest on that list on average.
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. I mean, I would say income is always in the top three. I would say creativity is up there a lot, and also the sharing of the vision and values.
Really?
It's not. I think we have seven main topics: health, creativity, income, education, physical appearance, and then the religious values, and the shared value system. So some people do put physical appearance at the top. Some people want, someone that they're attracted to,
it's not even that. Yvonne, it's not even that. You don't want an ugly baby. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Nobody wants an ugly baby.
I can't say that physical appearance is never the last choice.
Right.
It's always near the top at some point. But then some people want someone who's really smart. We have two ways where you can search on your own on the app, or we have a concierge service, which is essentially a professional matchmaking search service where we do the searching for you and we vet the people before we introduce them to you. And personally guide you through the process. So we help people find, I've helped people find someone wanted a Jewish donor that went to Harvard, egg donor. And so I had to go, not only do some creative ads on Facebook, but also place an ad in the Harvard newspaper looking for donors. I've helped lesbian couples who are Native American find a Native American donor from an obscure tribe in the middle of the country because they couldn't find enough options at the sperm bank. So, people have all different kinds.
That's
of...
That's so interesting.
An ex-professional athlete or a Division I college athlete that things like that. Or someone that plays, that's musically inclined, that plays music or piano, guitar. People have different wants and needs.
So what you're saying is we all want a good-looking baby that's going to make enough money to take right. care of us when we're old.
Yeah, a lot of people, the tall, dark, and handsome that makes $1 million a year and goes to Harvard donor.
Yeah. Right. But what about success? You guys have been in business for a while now. How long have you been selling or pushing, maybe I'm using the wrong word, this particular mm-hmm. platonic model? Because I'd like to know what the success rate is on this.
Right. So we've been around since 2012. So we've been around about 8.5 years. In February we launched. So next year will be 9 years. I've been working on the idea since 2011. So it's almost 10 years that I've been doing this. And we've been steadily gaining traction over the years. We have about 30,000 members on there right now. We have over 200 babies born. That I know about. I'm sure there's a lot of people that also met on their own or got a donor from us. I would say about half of that is people that found a co-parent or a romantic relationship, and the other half is people looking for donors. We've had some success, but we're not in the millions of people like Match.com or something like that, but I do see us potentially getting to 1 million people around the world. Most of our members currently are in the U.S. Canada and the U.K. are tied for second, basically. We have people in Brazil. We have people in Australia. So it's a global thing that people can relate to, because I think there's been this seismic shift in how people start families and view families, and people are having children, a lot later in life. So the dream was, usually when someone graduates college, they see themselves getting married at age 30, and they'll already got the promotion, they'll be vice president, making enough money. So 30 comes around, they still feel like they're not ready, they're still single, they haven't met the right person, they haven't got that promotion at work. Maybe I'll get married when I'm 35. Then 35 comes around, and they feel like they're still in the same place. But then when they get to 40, particularly with women, which is 65% of our membership, they start feeling the pressures of the biological clock, and they're like, oh my God, I have to have a kid in the next couple of years, or it's not going to happen. This lifelong dream I ever thought. So maybe I don't have to get married. Maybe I don't have to find Mr. Right, the guy that's going to, do this for me. Maybe the person I raise kids with is different from the person I grow old with later in life. Maybe I could just find someone that can help co-parent this child and that shares a similar, value system to me and can help split the cost and help split the time it takes to do this. And maybe they have a great family as well that can also help. So that's kind of where the initial idea came from.
Well, I think like the view of what a family is evolving as well. I mean, like it used to be that a family is a mom, a dad, two kids and a dog. And
yeah,
then the shape of families has changed so much.
Right. Yeah. The shape of family has changed so much. And also, you see it in divorce. If you have children, you get a divorce and then both parents end up in new relationships. Maybe there's a stepchild that's born after that. So there's a whole blending of how families are turning out. And, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So it's just like any other, a marriage can work perfectly and great and for the raising of children, but it could also be a disaster and a nightmare. And same thing with co-parenting. It's just another relationship, that people have to work. I'm not saying it's the easy cure-all, because it takes work. Of course you have arguments with your co-parent. Of course you don't agree on everything. Of course you're not going to find someone that fits all of your check boxes. So you have to determine, what's most important to you and what you're looking for in a partner, and focus on that and try to find someone that checks that box at least. And then grow, over time with your partner, and then you might fall in love. And if you're in a platonic co-parent relationship, a lot of times that's where one party is gay and one party is straight, where it's a gay man and a straight woman. That's a lot of the arrangements we've put together. A lot in Toronto, a lot of babies have been born using that kind of arrangement. And the oldest child was born in Ontario. The first my family baby that I know about was born in summer 2013. So that child's about 7 now. So we're still seeing how this is working out. In 10 years, that person will be 17 or 18 years old. But so far it seems everyone that I talked to, even if the relationship arrangement, wasn't exactly what they thought it was going to be, they still have no regrets because they have this child in their life. The child loves them. They love the child. They have someone that's helping out. And, the worst version I've heard is where people kind of rushed into it and haven't communicated what they want to do, or they assumed they would be 50-50 co-parents. They did no legal paperwork after the woman was pregnant. she was like, oh, you know what? I actually don't really want you to be a 50-50 co-parent. I want you to be more of a sperm donor, and you could see the child like every other weekend. And the guy was like, oh, that's not exactly what I agreed to. But then, you know, they had to go to court and they had to argue. But then over time, they both had custody and they figured out an arrangement. And, you know, it took a little bit of work, but now they you know, they both have what they wanted and they're happy about the decision that they made.
It's so complicated.
Yeah, but as somebody who co-parents in our family, like my partner has two daughters with his first wife, and I would imagine like we never expect that things are going to be the same in our house as they will be in hers.
Right.
But if you can take all that history and all that animosity out of those decisions and even right. out of the way that you handle things or the way you talk to your kids about your partner, I'd like imagine that that would be, although not ideal, potentially a lot less stressful, is it not?
Exactly. I mean, we've had a lot of situations where we've helped people that were recently divorced, that have one child that's, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and the woman wants to have another child relatively close in age to her current child, but she didn't want to get married again. And she also didn't want to do it alone. So it was a perfect situation to find, you know, a platonic co-parent, in this case, a gay man, you know, someone who's a working professional, who's attractive and loving and attentive and financially stable, to be a co-parent and be the bio dad of the child. And she didn't have to get married again and deal with all that. And potentially she can still have her own relationships down the road. And you never know what life turns out, but we've helped a lot of people in that situation that were married, that had children and wanted to have another one relatively soon. And they either go the donor route or the co-parent route.
It's complicated, though, when you think even though your co-parent might be gay or might be straight or whatever, and there's no, and it's strictly platonic with no chance of it, you know, developing into something romantic. Mm-hmm. Again, once you start introducing other romantic partners in your lives and other children,
right.
it's just. But then again, like Hillary said, that's the way it is. That's sort of the new model for the family. They're extended now, and they're modern. That's what they look like.
Exactly. And, you know, of course, you don't introduce the child to, someone that you've been dating for a week. You know, if this is a relationship that you think is going somewhere, you know, children just need the encouragement, love, support and consistency. If mommy's new boyfriend is now living with them and he's becoming a stepdad type figure, you know, that can be great. If there's a new guy coming every couple months and the child is unstable and doesn't feel like that anyone really cares about them, then that could be not so great. So, you know, it can go both ways. But we try to encourage people to, do what's best with the child first. And you can still have the relationship that you want, you know, on your own. But, think about how that affects the child and then proceed from there.
Absolutely. But that's one of the benefits of co-parenting with someone is you still get some time off to refresh yourself and be a better parent because if you're doing it on your own, it's not like you can say, oh, I'm going out because I need a break. You have no one. So this is your chance to like have some alone time still and have time to develop those relationships. I think it's a really cool idea.
Right. Thanks. And we all have friends that are divorced and, divorce is a horrible process for most people. It's very painful. It takes some time to get used to the new structure. But the one benefit is sometimes your child is in the care of your ex-partner and you have time to yourself and you can still look for yourself as well. So the same thing with co-parenting, where you have someone that can take the load off of you and you still have time to pursue, you know, your own life and your own careers. While you still have a responsible parent raising your child, and if you have a consistent schedule and everyone's doing their part, then I think it can be a great relationship and arrangement.
I got to ask you a question about responsibility, because you are taking the responsibility of, in the romantic side anyway, of matching people romantically who want children together. If the guy or the girl misrepresents themselves, as we often do at the beginning of relationships, but poorly, like really misrepresents who they are, their value system, and all of those things. What is your responsibility as the matchmaker in all of that?
Right. So, in general, if people especially are searching on their own or creating a profile and searching around, You know, we kind of have a checklist on be responsible. You know, don't rush into anything with anyone. And on the concierge side, we do vet people in terms of if they're going to be a donor or co-parent. There's an opportunity to, one, get the health check and a sperm check. You can do a background check to see if they've, you know, ever been in prison or have a bad credit rating or have a tremendous amount of debt that you didn't know about, you know, things like that. So, and that's why we also recommend not rushing into this. Don't have a baby with someone you met, you know, a week ago. If you start really getting to know someone and developing that trust, which is the most important factor in a relationship when you're raising a child with someone, that takes time to build. So you've got to get to know someone 6 months, a year, longer. It's similar to dating, but, you know, a different purpose. So, we try to help, especially for our concierge clients in terms of vetting. But, you know, like Match.com or some other, we can't vet every single person that joins the site. So that's why we recommend you be smart. You meet someone for the first time in a public place. You don't have them come over your house right away until you meet them. And just, you know, you got to have your wits about you and not make irrational decisions.
I would like to have a baby with Rupert Everett. Is that wrong? Can you please arrange that? Remember him?
I can check in and see if he's available.
Was he not the sexiest? Was he not the sexiest? He would be like the perfect.
He probably still is.
100% he's still sexy. There's no question. He's one of those guys that's going to be sexy till he's 90. Yeah, totally. Like if I was to have a gay baby daddy, he would be the gay baby daddy that right. I would want completely. Absolutely. That'd be great.
Well,
and I just like, I have that. Like
a lot of times.
I like, don't we have this, like when you said, you know, a lot of heterosexual women are having babies with gay men. I'm like, that is what I want. If I knew about you guys, you know, 20 years ago, I would have totally gone that route. I would love to have a friend to raise my baby with because,
right.
you know, romance, you know, and someone that I don't have to bitch at about leaving their socks around and all the unpleasantness
right.
of marriage. Yeah, I would like to take the unpleasantness of marriage and keep the friendship part of it. Wait, before I continue, I have to ask a question. Do you live together? Because I want to live with Rupert Everett too.
Yeah, well, that's we have had people that live together. We have had people that live, you know, next door. I had a couple that I think they're in Washington, D.C., where there's actually a couple in Florida and a couple in Washington, D.C. They bought houses next to each other and kind of had like a little, you know, entryway in the backyard where the child can go back and forth. And the parents, you know, live next door to each other, but they don't live together.
I love that. That's perfect that you have your own space. You don't really live together, but you have the kid has the access to both parents. Brilliant.
I've heard of another emerging trend where people are living in an apartment building together, say like, you know, five or six single mothers living in a small apartment building together, sharing the responsibilities of raising all their kids, and everyone helps out in their own way. So there's, you know, it takes a village mentality where you know, it's hard work raising a child, and it's very difficult to try to do it on your own. So if you don't have a
oh my gosh, it's sister wives without the hassle of a man.
Oh God, yes.
Exactly.
I like that.
It's like,
yeah.
Take the loser out. Let's do this.
And I like the idea of taking, like, I love the idea of having that platonic relationship with your
right.
co-parent.
Right.
And because
yeah.
the feelings just fuck everything up. You know what I mean? And then you
right.
become, then those feelings like you talk about when people get divorced, they get ugly, they bring the kids into it. If you could just take those romantic
right.
feelings out of things, then you really are always working in the best interest of the child. And that really should be all you're working at.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's having someone on your side. And those kind of emotions you have in a marriage, or especially when you're going through a divorce, you know, it's kind of like a divorce without the divorce. Because those emotions can cloud your judgment on doing what's best for the child, because you sometimes really don't want that other person to win because he screwed you that time, and you want to make sure, you know, that you know, he ends up paying for whatever he did, or vice versa. And you know, the guy feels the same way, and the child gets caught in the middle, and it can be, you know, I mean, we've seen it happen for, you know, for decades as divorce rates have been increasing, and you know, and people are getting married a lot. Women especially, you know, marriage was something more that they were expected to do. And 50 years ago when they were expected to more, you know, manage the home and take care of the kids while the father was the breadwinner, it's not like that anymore. women are in the workforce just as much as men. They make just as much money. You know, they don't have to get married young and settle with the first person that they think is a breadwinner. They can find exactly what they're looking for. They can have their life experiences. They can travel around the world with their girlfriends and do that and focus on children, you know, later in life and not settle and basically, you know, do what's best for them. And I think more people than ever are living alone because they can afford to now. People, you know, are more educated. They're in the workforce. They're making money. I think nobody is rushing into, you know, marriage and kids when you're in your early 20s, like people used to do.
Yeah, totally. And what about the extended family? Like, it might be hard for you to know, but as the matchmaker, what grandparents think about this, aunts and uncles think about this, because that might be weird at Christmas announcing that you're having a baby with somebody that you met online. You have romantic feelings for them, but you've come to this agreement. Like, how is that received?
Well, I have some funny stories about that where I've had mothers reach out to me to find someone for their daughters so they can become a grandmother.
Really? You know,
I don't doubt that.
No, I have reached out, and I've also had people reach out if they can be like a platonic grandparent where they're not really a grandparent, but they can be involved in a child's life as a grandparent because they don't have one of their own. So, you know, there's a lot of people looking to have relationships with children and I think that's a beneficial thing because children, you know, children need to have a team around them and they need consistency and love and support. And that doesn't have to be coming from the biological parents, and that doesn't have to be, it can be an extended family. It can be grandparents. It can be aunts, uncles. It can be your best friend. You know, becomes a great aunt. It can be if you have a known donor as opposed to an anonymous donor where you never get to meet the father. Kid has no idea who their dad is until maybe age 18 if they sign some paperwork. But if you use a known donor, you have a relationship with the child. And even though he's not a legal parent, he can, you know, he's involved in day-to-day life. And as a child gets older, he can have a relationship with them. He's known as the, you know, great uncle kind of role or the bio dad. And, you know, there's all different types of situations for that are working that people are doing these days, and we're just trying to help facilitate that and help people, you know, achieve their dream of becoming a parent and starting a family.
Yvonne, if you start the grandparent site, can you find me a couple of grandparents that'll spoil me rotten, please?
That could be one thing at a time. I have to get this off the ground even more than it is now, and then I can work on the grandparents.
Oh, I love it. I'm just wondering about adoption. Do you also?
Yeah.
I know that you were saying that, you know, you figure out these people will have babies with each other. What about adoption? Is that something that you also dabble in as well?
No, we don't deal with adoption because, you know, there's plenty of options for adoption and there's a lot of legal paperwork you have to go through and it takes a good bit of time. So most people on our site are looking to have their own biological children. They're just looking for a partner to help them realize that dream and someone to, you know, to help them in that process.
I have a couple of questions about emotions. So you said that people are often dealing with a lot of emotions when it comes to divorce, but also the idea of not having your own kid yet as you move into 40, like there are a lot of heavy emotions involved with that that might make you make some pretty terrible decisions. How do you counsel people through those emotions so they don't jump in?
Right. So, you know, when you're going through the process, we offer referrals to professional services such as a family therapist or, you know, an attorney or your fertility doctor. But, you know, there are therapists that work in this modern family space. And we do recommend that each party, you know, consults with their own lawyer, consults with a doctor, you know, let their friends and family know what they're doing. Don't do this in secret. Don't rush into anything. You know, and there's a way that we can, you know, if there was guys out there looking to prey on women that want to have babies. So we developed a system where both parties have to like each other before you can send a message to someone. So you're not going to be getting emails from, you know, creepy guys that are looking to get you pregnant. Unless that's what you want, because that, but you know, you have to like the person,
like the creepy guy that gets you pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So depends if he's a former football star and super hot.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I don't know how many guys out there are like preying on women to get them pregnant. That seems like a nightmare to me. You know what I mean? Are there guys like that for real that would do that? I can't imagine.
I've heard stories, but we do our best to stop that from happening if someone's being abusive or messaging. But we in the first version of the site, you have to be a premium subscriber to message, and then you can message anybody. But then some people start getting unwelcome messages from someone that they're not interested in. So we avoided that. One, you can block the person. Two, now there's a mutual opt-in where you're not going to hear from anyone other than that they like you. So you can block them, or you can like them back, and then you have a mutual match, and you can message. But you know, we definitely have some great family therapists all over the country that one write content for us, or we refer business to them where they can talk you through do they really understand what you're about to do, and is this the right thing for you? And it's definitely not a decision that we think people should rush into.
It's so funny thinking about the online dating stuff. I imagine the first conversation that people have on your site is very different than what people have on like Tinder or Bumble. It's all the questions that you would never ask first off.
Right, exactly. And a lot of times people don't know how to proceed. So we try to give them some advice, and we have some helpful articles on the site. In terms of the type of questions, you should be asking. But to call it, a madamely first date, if you will, if people are having coffee, is a lot different than a Tinder first date. You're asking a lot different questions, and there's not going to be a physical relationship happening. And you ask questions about first of all the person's past, where they come around, how do they get to this point, why are they looking to do something like this. And kind of just sharing, their stories and kind of ideas for how they see this going, and then if that person's on the same page.
Yeah, I like the idea of going on a Tinder date and talking about the baby that you're going to have together. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
And talk about a sweaty situation.
No, I don't think so either. But you know what's funny? As a woman, you were talking about, when you're in your 20s as a woman, you couple up and you start thinking about your future, at least in my day. That's how it was. But I imagine if you're a woman in your 30s and you're on the Bumbles and the whatever the hell the rest of the sites are called, I don't know. But whatever, when you're on those sites, that must be a tough conversation to have when you're just on a regular dating site. When do you disclose the fact that you're interested in having a family? When do you disclose that you want to have a baby sooner rather than later? These are very delicate matters, for sure, when you're on a regular dating site. Yeah, about a buzzkill for a guy,
Right. I mean, that's the kind of stigma that we take away from, because that is a problem on the mainstream sites. And about the most you can say on your profile on a mainstream site is if you're interested in having children someday. That can mean next month. That can mean 10 years from now. Nobody knows. So if you don't have that kind of time, you can come to our site where, most people are in their 30s and 40s. They're closer to wanting to have children than someone you meet on one of those mainstream casual hookup apps. And I think that's a niche that really sets us apart. And I think there's millions of people out there, in all cultures and it could be in China and Germany and America and Canada and in Brazil. There's millions of people that are thinking of having children. They feel like time is passing them by and they have to do this sooner rather than later. And they want to find a community where people are on the same page. And that's what we do.
Are people generally able to find someone locally, or are people having babies across border lines?
It depends. We have great communities in a bunch of major cities like New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Toronto, London, I would say are the top five. But if you're, in Kansas or Romania or some other country. We do have clients in Europe that have met someone in another country in Europe because it's all relatively close. I have heard stories of some, you know, a person in the States that meeting someone in South America and flying to South America to, you know, to start a family with someone. So there, it has happened. There's been cross-border relationships, but obviously, you know, it works the best when the people are in the, you know, close to each other in the same location. You know, but some people travel. Some people change, you know, they spend a few months in one city and a few months in another city, or they for work, they have to go to, you know, another city once a month or something like that. And they can, you know, they can have a relationship there. So, we, you know, we have had it happen where people meet in different parts of the world and countries, but, you know, obviously it works the best if they already live close to each other. So we have the, you know, the most options in major cities, in the United States and Canada.
You know, I'm thinking somebody who was, you know, having a family in the 1950s or the 1960s would probably be mortified as to where we are today when it comes to what the modern family looks like. But, you know, that's how the family has evolved over the last 50, 60 years. What's next? How are we going to evolve between now and the end of the century, do you think? Or are we just going to be hooking up with robots or having robot babies because it's easier and they're perfect?
Right, I know. I mean, that's possible. I think, you know, I think, you know, there's some statistics that show that the younger generation, millennials and Generation Z, having a child is one of their top life goals, but getting married is not necessarily something they need to do. They, of course, they want to have a relationship and have a partner, but it doesn't have to be someone that they're, you know, with for 60 years or the rest of their life until death do us part. There's, you know, I think that's the direction we're headed in, where people, you know, are finding partners that connect with each other, that share a similar vision and value system, and they're putting those kind of priorities first, where they, you know, they meet someone that they gel with in a few different levels, and you know, they can have children with them. So I think it's I don't think, you know, some people marriage is a great thing, for some people it's not. And we've all seen that it doesn't work, you know, half the time, and half the time it does work. So, you know, I think that's I don't think the divorce rate is going to get lower. I think it's going to stay around the same, but I think people are going to start reevaluating whether they're, you know, going to get married or be, you know, with someone for, you know, for all eternity, even if they have children with them. So I think this kind of, it takes a village mentality where there's a bunch of people helping for, you know, all disparate, different aspects of a child's development. You know, maybe you have a friend that's helping you get better at sports. Maybe you have a great uncle that's helping you with your homework. You know, maybe there's one person, if the mother is the breadwinner, you know, someone else can be more of the caretaker. Like there's, you know, there's a lot of different arrangements. And I think people are just finding what they want out of life and trying to plug, you know, starting a family into that puzzle. And making choices from there.
Ivan, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And if people want to find Modamily, how can they do that?
Sure. You can just go to modamily.com, or you can go to any of the app stores and download the app and start connecting with people today. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming on, Yvonne. It was a pleasure.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.